Oh. It's been a long time since I've sat in front of this fireplace, and each time we've met together, as our little group here in Jackson does, I'm exhausted. I give everything I've heard, and I always think there's nothing more I can say. And I've had to sift through 11 pages of recordings. Now, everybody has their own methods of sharing, okay? I don't have a method. God pesters me with his voice, always at night. It's always at night when I finally calm down. I want to go to sleep, and he starts to speak to me. And one thing I can guarantee you is I know the difference between his voice and mine. There's quite a huge, vast gulf, okay? And I know that. That's one thing I got down. When he speaks, I know when he's speaking. And when I speak, I know when I'm speaking. And they're not even close, okay? So when he speaks, I get up and I record what he's saying to me. And so I have hundreds of recordings now. And when Tony and Martha came to me a few years ago and wanted me to start, I said, I got nothing. And I loved what Gary said this morning because he said the same thing. And out of it then, I can't say anything to you. None of us can say anything to you. So it's great that we almost that we have a fear, a nervousness about speaking, right? It's good because we don't want words. We want things that mean something, that change our experience. And since Gary spoke this morning, and he spoke about how love came to him, I remember a time in my life I want to start out with when reality began to speak to me. And I didn't, and I have to truly say what happened to me in this event. This took place back in 1989. A similar experience to Gary's when he didn't know how to explain it, but he was overwhelmed by God's love. And he was a rascal, right? He'd said he was a rascal. Well, And I've been a rascal since I was in kindergarten. At least that's what my mom told me. So wouldn't sit still, didn't want to go anywhere, didn't want to go home. Because there was all these chores and stuff waiting for me, and a mom that hollered all the time. Not abusively, but just, she wasn't ever satisfied with the way my room was clean. Okay, it was never enough, right? And the Pentecostals would roll in town every summer at the camp we grew up in, and when they left, I'm telling you, every other word was hell. You're going to hell if you smoke and if you don't clean your room, if you don't obey your parents. I mean, just one after another. Well, thankfully, I gave up on it a long time ago because I knew that I'm going to go there 1,000 times for sure. And I'm never going to get caught up, right? But one day, it was back when I was in the building business, when I built these structures for people up in the mountains. We pinned them to rocks in beautiful places, but it was a lot of work. You get married to this couple, right, who wants you to build them this home. And then you get married to 50 contractors who help you build the home. And it's nothing but a frantic mess, I'm just telling you. Never, even when I built my own house, I was my own bad customer, you know? And so during this time, I became quite a drinker every night. I was single at the time, and my wife was the bottle. So every night for supper, I started to drink. And I was never more hungry for God in my life. It started way before this. I say, God, what the hell's going on? You know, I've got a hunger for you that won't quit, and I'm starting to drink like a fish. And so I was bound and determined this one day I wasn't going to drink. Yeah, It's not going to happen this day. And I was driving to the most beautiful place in Colorado, 350 miles from Denver, to get a special pile of lumber that you can only get in this area. It's where they make aspen wood, and they make tongue and groove paneling out of aspen. And I needed it for these special rooms we sold people. And so I spent all day. I got up at 5 in the morning, and it was going to take me till midnight to get home with this lumber, okay? And I didn't really have the time. So I ran all the way down to Pagosa Springs, clear down by South Fork. Anybody knows that area? Cortez, Telluride. It's a beautiful area. Enjoyed, loved the ride. Praise and singing to God all day long, you know. Not thinking about drinking at all, okay? So I'm on my way back, and I'm somewhere I decide, you know, I think I could just have maybe a beer. You know, I could have a beer. That's not, you know, it's just one beer is fine, you know. I'll just stop. I need a little buzz, you know. This is hard work, you know. Well, I bought a six-pack thinking I'd just drink one, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm driving the truck, right, with all this lumber stacked on an angle in the back of my truck. I stopped at my first job and unloaded what needed to be at that job, and I had two more jobs to go to. And I was a little tipsy, and so guess what? I didn't tie the wood down very good. It was a little bit loose. And it stayed on there for a while. So I went up through Eisenhower Tunnel, 12,000 feet, heading back down. I heard a little bit of commotion, and I just ignored it. A few miles later, I looked back, and there wasn't one stick of lumber in the back of my pickup. So I turned around frantically and went back to search for it. And the only thing I found, in the freeway, mind you, was a bunch of splinters. So if there was any woodland there, somebody scooped her up. Because I doubt if it pulverized this wood, right? Somebody said, somebody's deposited $2,000 of lumber for my home. And I mean, it had to disappear in like a half an hour, because that's about how long it took me to recognize it was gone. I got so pissed at God. I got so pissed that I called him everything that you could think of. Every swear word. You, everything you could think of. And then I went to the bar because I knew I had to swallow that. I went to the bar again, and I don't remember driving home that night. The next morning when I woke up, crouching down, right? I mean, because I still had a belief of a God in reward and punishment, for sure. Sneaking around underneath the bushes, trying to hide. Driving back down to my office, and it had snowed. Where I lived, I lived at 10,000 feet, and it would usually snow every night in the middle of winter. Every night, you'd get a foot of snow, maybe. So I drive back to my office. I wasn't saying much, for sure. I'd said enough the night before. And as I went from my truck to my office, somehow I'd lost my keys. And so I couldn't get in my truck and drive home, and I couldn't get in my office because I didn't have a key. And so for a minute, I thought I was going to freeze to death because it's pretty cold. And so I thought, well, should I pray? And you know what? I did pray. And I said, Father, I need to find my keys. And as I tell you, I'm getting goosebumps right now. I opened my eyes and looked down in a hole in the snow and reached my hand in, and there were my keys. And love, like a warm oil, just poured all over me from my head to my toes. It just, right now I feel the same thing. I didn't say a word. He just told me, I love you. I didn't do anything. And I didn't stop drinking or cussing that day either. But the fear of God began to disappear from my life. It began to, right? I really can't tell you that I understand that fully until today, until these last couple months. I have not understand what really happened to me until recently, until I'm going to share with you what I've been hearing the last couple of months this afternoon. So I want to talk a little bit more about the title, Love the Road to Reality. Because the definition of love is quite different than the word we use. And you've got to forgive me. I've gotten so many recordings that the message is almost written out verbatim. I can't help it. And I've cut out pages. So you have to pretend I'm not here. Okay, I'm just going to look out there like you're not here. But there's so much. I've had to whack away so much. It's just about written out. So you have to forgive me for that. That's the way it happens with me, you know. And so here it is. So the definition of love is quite different than what we use. We use it in relation to our interest in other human beings. We use it in relation to how we treat each other. We use it in relation to how we feel towards each other, which is normally an object of our affection. None of these definitions are accurate. They can't be. God is love. That's who He is. It's not what He does. That's who He is. And so in a sense, we change the definition of God through our understanding of what love is. Because if God is love and we've got a skewed version of love, then our definition of God's wrong, isn't it? Because we don't know Him. We can't know Him. So through our interpretation of love and its relationship with the appearances, the people around you, the events in your life, we then alter and adjust God to where we find ourselves. This is never accurate. And it's the cause of all the many definitions of God that have appeared within Scripture, right? As well as our own personal life in which we have formed our own God. Every one of us, there's billions of gods. And they're all idols. Every one of them's an idol. And here's the true God that shows up, speaks to Gary when you least expect it. He spoke to me. I never thought when I prayed, I wasn't really. I almost thought, is this a sort of sarcastic if I were to pray? Wouldn't it be? You know, I sort of felt that a little bit. Should I pray? I said, well, I got nothing to lose. He hasn't killed me yet, you know. I'm still breathing. So what have I got to lose, you know? And that's what surprised me. That's what shocked me. None of these definitions are the true God. Walter Lanyon said, you cannot destroy life. And they were words that I've never forgotten. And so you cannot destroy love. You can't alter it in any way. So if love has anything to do with the senses, it can't be real. Because they change all the time. You can't feel love. You can't understand love until you realize there's nothing you can do with love. Love is life, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's an energy without judgment, as Tony talked about. There's a mental energy. There's a love energy. And it's always speaking. All the time. It's an energy without commentary. It's an understanding that causes you to be still and know that there's nothing else. You can't make love happen. You can't get more love. You can't create love. You really can't even make love. As a matter of fact, there's nothing you can do about this eternal love. That's why Jesus came. Introduce us to that love, yes. The Father. Yes. of lights, who is love. That's his name, is love. That's really his name. So why are we here? Why are we listening? Why did we come? There's a reason. And what it means is we haven't arrived yet. Doesn't it? At the same time, we have to realize you can never become what you already are. That's the work. That's the work. You can't become what you already are. That's hard. That's a lot of work. Because there's a thousand things saying the opposite to us all the time. That's never going to go away, guys. Quit trying to pray it away. It's never going to go away. It's never going to change. The world out there is never going to change. So quit trying to change it. Don't pray for it. Quit judging it. Stop judging it. Just stop it. Be still. Just be still. To any degree, it's never going to change. I love the AT&T commercials that are out now. And you guys that are out of the country don't get to see them, but they are so cute because they pile a bunch of kids around in a circle. Yeah. And my favorite one is the girl with white tights. And she gets on there. The guy says, well, what's better, more or less? Well, more is better because we got some, and then our parents said we should take less, but when we got more, it was really good, but when the less was there, we wanted more. And we just wanted more. That's just pretty much verbatim how she said it. We like more. Well, what is it we want? What are we looking for more of? Right? Because if you're looking for more, it means you're not satisfied.
That's right.
When will we be satisfied? At some point, we're going to be satisfied with the appearances as they are right now. Right now. Right now. Today. Whatever's happening. You're never going to be fishers of men. Ever. If you don't come out and operate from a place where you're satisfied. Because the cares of this world choke out the truth. Any care for anything going on in this world. Anything. Choke out that satisfaction. Strangle it. Strangles it. So when will you be satisfied? That was Jesus' call. He laid down his life for his friends. He said, I have no life to give. I'm nothing. The Father's everything. And he continued, day after day, just like we have to do, every day, lay our lives down. Lay our lives down. Lay our lives down. Every day. What do you get up? I get up in the morning. I say, what do you want today, Mike? What is it you want? You know, because usually when I'm going to bed, I feel pretty satisfied now. But I mean, that's 56 years, of not being very satisfied. And I have this business that's just crazy, crazy, crazy. Just 1,000 plates spinning all at once. And thank God I can't manage those plates, because that's what I always have done. I've always been a pretty good manager of spinning plates. And at some point, you can't keep up with it. And so what choice do you have? I didn't have any. Yeah, you just go in and, okay, operating from a place of satisfaction, whatever comes to me, I have the answers then. The answers come then. And so, unless we're there, we're always asking amiss, right? We're always going to ask amiss unless we're there, unless we're moving from that place. So we then can begin to rescue man out of his humanhood, out of the delusion that he's a human being and that he's separate from God. Because if you believe you're a human being, you believe you're separate from God. You believe in self-will. You believe in responsibility. I'll tell you what, that's a hell of a mess. And it's a hell of a burden. to believe you've got to be responsible. He says, my burden's light. Now, if you want to be a responsible human being, you're carrying a pretty heavy load. And you're never going to win. You know, I've been irresponsible a million times. And I gave up. I'm certainly believing in the completed work of Christ. I believe that all work has been done, but we have to remind ourselves of that. The problem is that there's a lot of unbelief in our life that needs to be uncovered. That's why we're here. There's a lot of unbelief that needs to be uncovered and excavated and exposed. We have to expose the hypocrisy and the partiality. Okay? God sees everything the same. He sees every person right now just as peaceful, just as loving as he does right now in this room. It doesn't matter what's going on, whether there's bombs blowing off or people attacking each other. It doesn't matter. He has no care for it whatsoever. None. Zero. And so how do we handle that? How do we live in that? Withdraw judgment. Withdraw judgment. What Gary said this morning, you don't have to enter into a room and say anything because most of the time we're judging something. So it's pretty good. Your eyes, you can never go wrong being quiet. I've never seen too many people get in trouble not saying anything, right? So if you don't know what to do, don't say anything. Just be quiet or shut up, whatever you want to call it. I say to myself, Nevin, shut up. Sometimes I add a few more words in there just so I listen, you know, so I'll listen to myself, you know. Jeez, because I get tired of myself sometimes and all the yapping that's going on. And like I said, I hang out with my brothers and stuff, and man, they haven't got a clue who I am or what I believe. And I mean, it's just like a couple canaries, you know. And then there's the brother thing going on, and we're all competitive and stuff. And I'm sitting on my hands, trying not to be competitive and trying not to cooperate. And all of a sudden, here I go. And all three of us are going, you know, about 24 hours is about all I can handle of it. And then I join them, you know. And I'm saying, holy crap, you know, jeez. Why am I here, you know? What am I doing? I love them. That's why I'm there. Right? That's why I'm there. I love them. And they feel it. They know it. And they both said they love working for me. They both said it. I want to work for my brother. It brings tears to my eyes when I hear that. That I want to work for my brother. They don't explain it. They just say, I like working for my brother. And I love being around him. You know, so. But it's a lot of work to withdraw judgment. That's the work. See, that's the work of salvation. Yeah. It isn't to do something. It's not to do anything. It's to realize there's nothing you need to do. Yeah. That's the work. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Wow. That's unbelievable, isn't it? There's nothing you need to do. I've got to tell you another little story. This is, I hope you don't think this is strange. This is what's going on right now. Lately, for the last few months, I finally confessed to my wife this the other day. But I love to sneak away in the middle of the day and go over to a huge, large cemetery near my office. Nobody's talking.
Catholic cemetery.
And every once in a while, I smoke a cigar. And I'm telling you, I'm relaxed. I'm just relaxed, you know. I said, well, these guys aren't going to mind if I smoke. Now, my wife doesn't care for it too much. She just tells me I stink when I come home. And I don't know why this has started. I'm not really sure, you know. But I remember, and Diane will remember this with us. And Gary, you're going to get a kick out of this because it fits right in with what you said. he's there studying his Bible and he's puffing away like a chimney, you know, just getting thrilled with God, you know, smoking cigarettes like chain smoker, right? And just filling the room with smoke. Well, there was this guy on Denver TV once. You remember him?
Denver, yeah.
He'd sit in a rocking chair in front of the TV late at night, and he'd be smoking a cigar talking about God. And I'm going, did you ever see that guy?
Dr. White.
I'm going, what the heck's this? And of course, we were still going to a church. I wanted to keep it on. I think Diane finally said, I've had enough of this, you know. And she's not judgmental at all, but she says, oh, come on now. I don't know if the guy's still around, but he probably was speaking some truth. Who knows?
What was his name again?
I'm glad some of you remember, because I thought you'd all think I was crazy. Yeah, he was on real late at night. Huh? Did he? Well, I do too sometimes. I say, Nevins, what the hell's wrong with you? That's usually when I cuss, you know. So when I get going. I see. What the hell's wrong with you, Nevin? Shut up. You know? Just shut up. And I listen to myself. So I'm in the cemetery smoking a cigar. It's a good one. It's from Nicaragua. Okay, I'll give you the brand name afterwards if you want one. It is a nephew's fault. We went to Nicaragua and he got these fresh cigars there because Cubans moved there. Yeah. And oh my gosh, I mean, I thought I was smoking a piece of candy. Anyways, that's what's going on. Can I tell you? So I'm sitting there puffing on a cigar, right? As far as I can see, there's monuments to men. This is a huge cemetery. As far as I can, St. John's Cemetery is ginormous. And I'm probably in the oldest section in the cemetery, right? I'm by Paul S. King, big stone. 1873 to 1918, it says. And all of a sudden, God starts speaking to me in the cemetery while I'm puffing on a cigar. And he says, there's no one walking on the face of the earth that could come here today and give an account of this man. There's no one standing here. No one knows the life this man lived. It's been forgotten. There's nothing left but a piece of stone. There's no flowers anymore. And it's the story of every human being that's going to and fro across the earth, trying to make a living by the sweat of his brow. It's the story of us, isn't it? It's the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we were there. And it said, when all the smoke had cleared, it says, they were though as if they never were.
What was that?
They were though as if they never were.
Yeah, that's right.
So these people, there was this stone there, but there's no memory. Even. There's not even a memory. No one remembers these people two or three generations back. The gravestone of my father right now is well kept by my mom. And when she's gone, I'm sure the care will diminish. And when the sons and daughters are gone, the care will diminish even further. And when the grandchildren are gone, the care will disappear because no one will have known them the way they wanted to be known. And their resume will disappear from the face of the earth, won't it? What's contained in all this is all the judgment and all the fussing and all the complaining and all the trying we do in our lives that are separate from God, by the way. Because if you're not satisfied, you're separate from your life. Period. Full stop. If you're not satisfied. This is why it says the will of God is to be thankful in all things. Tremendous verse. To be thankful in some things No matter what we see. No matter what we see. That's a huge step of faith, isn't it? Because there's a lot of stuff going on out there. And I'm telling you, it's busy. There's all kinds of things happening. And our judgment comes in, and we then want to correct it, and we begin to entertain the belief in a false God. All the works they've done under the sun will become as nothing, vanity, smoke, vapor. You know the verses. Solomon, Peter, they said it. So what is life? It has to be something beyond what I've described. Beyond the visible. A realm where faith lives. A realm beyond what we see and certainly beyond the senses. So I don't know about you, but I want to be more than a name carved on a piece of stone. So we come in agreement then with that spirit within us, which no longer relies on the outward, but rests in the inward faith that everything is in order. Everything is in order. Everything is in order for the person who's not judging by appearances, isn't it? That's the power of God and the salvation right there. That's the gospel. That is the gospel. Are you willing to be sponged out, erased, canceled, made nothing? Are you willing to be made nothing, dipped into oblivion? If not, you will never know reality, ever. You will never experience the reality that there is only God, there's nothing but God. Never. There's only love. There's nothing but love. Same thing. You can't experience that. You can't be satisfied with that. And you're not. You don't have to raise your hand to me. Raise it to yourself. How often are you satisfied with where you are? Are you waiting for some event to change? Are you looking for answers to your circumstances? Is that what you're chasing around? Like these men did? That no one remembers anymore? I mean, America was founded on blood, sweat, and tears. And then the Puritans were chasing their asses all over the country, right? Trying to get them to conform. The Puritans were here first. Yeah. A lot of people had stitch marks in the front of their dresses around those guys. Talk about rough. And they thought they were escaping it. And the worst ones followed them. Ooh, I'd rather go to Australia where all the prisoners went. At least they had some freedom, right? They were leaving them alone anyway. So what did Jesus do when he came? He served everyone in love. Right where he found them. It doesn't mean he didn't correct them. He spoke the truth. Right? But most of them in his day never heard the spiritual message. But he served them anywhere, right where they were, in a realm of little faith, where they wanted healed, they wanted fed, they wanted silver to appear in a fish, right? And we've turned that into a ministry. And if that's why Jesus came, he would still be here doing it. Why is it gone? Because there's something above all of that that's better. There's something much better than that. And I'm not here to judge anybody that's doing that. But if you're trying to speak something into existence you don't have, you're not satisfied. You can only be trusted to ask for something when you're satisfied. Only then. Because if you pray then, you pray amiss. You pray to consume it upon your own lusts. Big difference. Rightly dividing the truth. Get the premise right first, right? Are you satisfied? Then you can, that's the only place you can be trusted. Because we're crazy people if we're not satisfied. Right? And in Job, it said right at the beginning, God said to Satan, what have you been doing? Well, not much, running to and fro across the earth, right? Well, who do you think that was? It was Job's mind. Running to and fro across the earth, trying to change something, and that which I feared came upon me. And I mean, there was a time I preached that as the true God. Back in Union Life Ministry, I said, this is God. He's a God of good and evil. He creates all things. He creates evil and creates good. And then Tony said one day, there's no such thing as a God of reward and punishment. I go, holy crap. I've been preaching the wrong thing for 15 years. And I went and hid, you know, and hope people forget about me. I said, wow, I have to change my name, you know. Call myself Olin Nevins or something instead of Michael Nevins, you know. I've still got those messages. They're buried deep, though, so they're not. Just remind myself, you know. The law of attraction, my brother. Beautiful message. I had it playing it on my laptop as I was driving all over California. In the seat of my car. And I stopped and bought a thing you could plug into the ashtray to keep my computer going because I couldn't get enough of it. And that night in the motel, I looked out at all the people. I was in San Diego in the harbor. There are thousands of people. And I looked out at all the people, and God said to me, none of these people are your enemy. And the love poured over me again. There isn't one person out here that's my enemy. And I just looked out, and I go, wow, that's a nice feeling. No one's against me. Right? There's somebody getting a cup of coffee. I don't have to run in front of them in line. I don't have to go to the choke and puke and get at the front of the line. There'll be food. Do you know what I mean, though? It's that feeling. It's that competitive feeling that's out there, you know? It's crazy. So he served everyone in love. The people were trapped in a body controlled by the appearances. So he said to them, judge not by appearances, but judge righteous judgment. But they didn't know what it means. And I didn't know what it meant till we started this ministry, because that's the revelation we've received here, is the understanding of righteous judgment. They were so consumed by the issues of life, by the cares of this world, that they never entered into rest. So today, can we leave the results behind and trust that all things are working together for good? Leave the results behind. Don't try to conform the results to your own image. Let it go. Whatever comes to you, you deserve it. In thankfulness. Not only do you deserve it, but it says to be thankful. Whatever it is that comes to you. And even if it doesn't feel right, Gary, right? Sometimes you have to say, then you say, God, make me be thankful. Help me to be thankful, because I sure don't want to be. I want another cigarette. Right? Or whatever it is. It's the same thing. And it doesn't matter. So, all things work together for the good has nothing to do with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's a different good, yeah. Right? It's a different good. It's a place that can't be affected by circumstances. That's the good we're talking about. Can't be affected. Now, I'm just telling you, those of you who are trapped in a circumstance, I've been trapped in a circumstance. If you keep your eye on the activities, I'm telling you, you're going to be a bobblehead. It's up and down. It's up and down. It's changing the day. It's up tomorrow. Here comes an order. There goes an order. This is that got damaged. This is, well, this guy's leaving. This guy's smoking dope. We got to fire him. And I mean, it's, what? Which is good? Which is bad? You know? Holy smokes! You know, I had to go in and get my neck treated. You know, a couple months ago. Nuts. I said, Cal gonna take me away, you know. Jiminy Christmas. How do you get out of this mess, you know? I have to go in every morning before I leave realizing I'm satisfied with where it is today. And it gets, by the end of the day, it gets pulled back away a little bit, right? It certainly does. It certainly does, but I haven't forgot in the morning where it is. And I keep going back, and I call it the easy button. Sometimes I'm banging on that thing because it don't work. You know? Where is it, God? That's what we ask for. We're spiritual beings. You ask for spiritual gifts, not physical things. Are we going to mature beyond that? Because if you're still in the physical, if you're still trying to alter the appearances, you're not in a place of satisfaction. And you never will be. Because you'll get one thing and then another thing will come up. And you all know what I'm talking about. Right? Yeah. It never ends. There's always something happening. Always something. We got bumper stickers out there that say it a little different than that. But it's happening, okay? Believe me. A lot of truth in some of that stuff, isn't there? I think the people in hell know more than we do sometimes. All the religions got in our way. The people in hell are more at peace than we are. The cares of this world. The parable. Truth came. And the cares of the world choke it out. Any care about any detail, about any trouble, about any turmoil, I don't care if it's one person or a group of people or a nation or a country or whatever it is, back off and stop judging it. That's the key. Yep. We got a message. Somebody was reporting about how this couple had been together. They've been together their whole life, and there was all this hell and mayhem. Now, how could that be after they served God their whole life? The person was going on and on and on and on and on about all the details. Wow, this is horrendous. You know, blah, 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 blah. Let's make prayer. Let's do prayer. Let's do that. Let's put out, set up smoke signals. Get out the peace pipe. The problem was this person's commentary, not the activity going on with the two people. That's the problem. Be still. And go in, like Gary was talking about, in quietness and peace, and just love. Just love and serve. It's hard to not get tangled up when somebody's coming up whacking like a canary. I need this, I need this. Is that a problem? That's a problem. And you don't say nothing. They think you don't care about them. Right? Because they want you to join them in hell. Okay? They want you to go there with them and, bless God, this guy did this to me, you know, when we were out here paving our, you know, sealing the pavement out here again. And guess who showed up? Rex. Guess who showed up, Rex? The hillbilly neighbors come out, and we had cones up. We make sure, I said, now make sure you don't block it because I want them neighbors, you know, to get mad. And they come in and thought they were a dog on a one of those courses, and they went in and out and made sure they ran over every cone, made sure they ran over all the fresh tar we put down just so they could, okay? And my brother called up and said, Mike, you neighbors are crazy. They're not very courteous. And I said, Mark, we discovered that 10 years ago. And I said, Dine and I have decided to let it go. See, just let it go. Just let it go. They're the ones frustrated, aren't they?
Yes.
I don't have to join them, do I? But I can tell the story. Because we've talked because they've destroyed some sprinkler heads and put ruts in my beautiful yard. Whoa. Now that's a hard one. And I just cleaned the driveway, and he come out like he'd been in some mud contest, mud flinging all over my nice, clean driveway, you know, one day. Yeah.
See, let me tell you. I told him not to tell you. Then you wouldn't have a story to tell.
Well, you know, Mark, he wants to defend me. I'm his brother.
Yeah.
He wants to go back there and clean house, you know. I said, don't do it. Don't do it. They get stirred up enough. You put a red cone out and they go crazy. I don't want to do any more than that. I hope someday I can talk to him and tell him that we love him. We've seen their little children. We've seen their dogs and stuff, you know. How could I want to hurt the little children's parents is what came to me. See, it wasn't because we still had some frustration about them, right? Because it's the 10-year fight between the McGillicuddies and the McCoys, you know, going on. And Diane, I sit right up there on one of the stoops up there one day after they tore out my speed bumps because I wanted to slow them down. They came by one night, tore them out. And we grabbed hands and we both said, let's let them have their way. And let's stop this. And instantly we were at peace. Right then. And it hasn't changed.
No, it's the same. We do feel peace. Even that was like, oh, well.
Yeah. Now, even this little beautiful thing ran out there with pieces of wood and she wanted to have nails sticking through them at one night. I'll get them. I'll get those guys. No, no, no. No, you don't have to defend yourself.
Yeah. I was on steroids.
Yeah.
I was having surgery and I was on steroids.
Yeah, I know
the scary. It was somebody who that, looks like me.
Yeah. I would have to, like I would have to, for sure she was out of character, so that could be true.
Yeah.
I was pretty shocked, by the way, because this woman loves me like Martha loves Tony.
I know.
And I know she's got a lot of patience till I go, what the heck's going on? You know? Said, my wife's going nuts on me. The whole neighborhood's going. Yeah, exactly. So what did we do when we sat on the stoop is we let go of the results, didn't we? We came into agreement that it didn't matter, you know? I haven't taken the speed limit sign down yet. It's still up, but they didn't go out there and cut that down. But I still got a speed limit. But they obviously ignore that, you know. 10 miles an hour, that's like being on a lawnmower, you know.
Yeah.
So, oh, okay. So, how can you enter this rest? We've got to go back to absolute truth again. You have to realize it's not something you can do. It's not something you can accomplish. It's only something you can withdraw from. You're automatically at rest if you're satisfied. Now, you can say I'm quite satisfied, right? But you've got to listen, as Tony said, to what's coming off the tip of your tongue.
Yes.
If you're satisfied, we're not judging the world out there. At any level, if you're satisfied. We're not judging anything out there. We're judging the world in what? Righteousness. The Father within you is judging the world in righteousness. There is 100 passages of Scripture that say that. And I never knew there was one till 2 years ago in October because none of us do it. We do righteousness. But we didn't know God was judging the world in righteousness because there was all these condemnations and babies getting slain mixed in with it and this guy's going to hell and the fire and brimstone and shoo, how do you wade through all that and get the truth? Because it has to come by revelation, right? There's only God, there's nothing but God, and his name is love. His name's love. So that's how he can judge the world in righteousness. And he said, don't judge by appearances, but judge righteous judgment. Well, I entered the key word into righteous judgment. Thank God for computers and Bible software. And up come all these passages in Psalms. I said, I'm judging the world in righteousness. I'm going, well, that's nice. And I still questioned it. I was still suspicious. But then he said, I'm judging the people with equity. Whoa. Well, that sounds good. And they're right beside each other, right? And all of a sudden, the revelation came. He is your life. He's judging the world in righteousness. He's not seeing anything out of order out there beyond these walls. It's pretty easy to say there's nothing out of order here, isn't there? Here. But now can you go out into the world and be fishers of men and bring them into this realm where there's nothing out of order so they can be introduced to a God who's judging them in righteousness? Who's not seeing turmoil in the world. Jesus said, the Father and I are one. Why was it so? Because he knew there was nothing but God. There's only God. That was his message. So there can be no separation except where? Yeah, that's right. Isn't that amazing? I think that's beautiful. Because then I can just say, what the hell are you doing, Nevins? What is it you're doing? You know? What's going on? What is it? Can't you just shut up? You know? And I do. I say that to myself. Won't you just shut up? Hell yeah, okay. You know? If you follow me around, it'd be nuts, you know? Nobody would believe anything. I'm serious. I say that to myself, you know? What the hell's wrong with you? In hell. Because that's where you're at. It's reality. If you're there, isn't it? If you speak it forth, it's reality to you. Right? It's temporal. It's still an illusion. But I'm telling you what, that lumber was gone. Okay? Poof. Poof, poof. And it cost me twice as much to replace it locally. That's one reason I went. It was a $1,000 pile of lumber, and when I bought it locally, replaced it, it cost me $3,500. That's why I drove there, because I wanted that $2,000 cash. So guess what? I ended up spending almost $5,000 by the time it was all done, over a six-pack of beer. That was an expensive six-pack. I don't think I slowed down my drinking until I met Diane, which was years later. You know? So, withdraw. Be still and know. Same thing. Withdraw from the judgment of the appearances. There can be no separation there. It's funny. We see this. The only place there can be separation is in our own mind. And when the revelation that there's nothing but God, there's only God, full stop, 100,000 times, full stop, go back, circle your wagons around it, stop, be quiet, let it settle in. Why is that? Because flesh and blood will never bear witness to it. Your flesh and blood will never bear witness to it. And I'm going to prove it to you. And so Jesus would tell him this truth. He went up to people all the time and said, there's nothing but God. There's only God. This pure wisdom. And then he'd say, don't tell anyone. Why did he say it? Because nobody would believe him. And neither did we, right? No man has seen God at any time. That's what it is. That's the passage. No man can see God and live. And live. If you understand the pureness of there's only God, there's nothing God, you got to die. You have to die to that. Because that's a big piece of faith to bite off, isn't it? That's huge. Talk about faith. We got to live in a place where the appearances have got to disappear, buddy, I'm telling you. And that's a big piece of pie. Right? You're going to choke on it for sure. That's the work. That's the work. To stay in the faith. Not abandon the faith. That's the work. Right there. So don't tell anybody. Because you got trouble enough yourself believing it. So you tell it to your neighbor, he's going to steal it from you. Because he's going to bring up the Nevins report. World News, 6:30 p.m. You know, all hell's breaking loose in Jackson, Michigan. You know, dogs and cats are sleeping together. It's bad. Okay? Right? And we've all got our world news, right? Well, you can expand it out to what we see on the TV. It isn't any different. We've got to withdraw our judgment. That's the only place you're going to be satisfied. You have to. You have to. And it has to begin with the gospel. Right? Now, can we keep going? Do we need to take a break or anything? Because I'm just halfway through. Are we good? How are we doing?
Beautiful.
Okay, should we keep going?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. All right.
I'm not judging by appearances.
Good. What does it mean right now to you? When you hear there's nothing but God, there's only God. I don't want you to answer me. What does that mean to you? I mean, it's almost like a puppy who's been punished. I get the feeling, you know? Wow, there's only God, there's nothing but God. Whew. I'm a long ways from that thing. That's hard to see, isn't it? You're stunned. You have to be still to know that. Right? You can't be yapping away, right, about the cares of the world and agree with that for sure, because you're not in agreement with it, right? And so there's nothing but unconditional love bearing witness in all the places that can't be seen, within eternity, beyond the testimony of your own mind. Nothing else can be known, and that is why it is said to know Him is life eternal. To know that there's nothing but God, there's only God. God is not looking into this world and saying, this isn't my will. He does not have the least concern about what's going on regarding any activity around the globe. Not the least concern. That's shocking in and of itself. Not the least bit of concern. Why? Because He's judging the world in righteousness. He's way above just withdrawing judgment of the activities. It's way above that. Way above it. Has to be. He doesn't control by time or what goes on in this world. He has to see it finished, complete, done. So Christ came to bear witness to that, saying it's all done. And so Moses knew this truth. Moses knew this truth. And we're going to assume now he wrote Genesis. But he wrote it after all of his experiences. And Moses went through quite a turmoil, you know. He was out in the wilderness, surrounded by everyone who was judging the world by appearances. Craziness. Debauchery was rampant. People were complaining. They said they believed in God. Right, Gary? They said they had a belief in God. But boy, if somebody hiccuped up sideways, off they ran. And so Moses traveled up the mountain, what, of time? Traveled up the mountain of time. And there God introduced Himself to him at a bush that was never consumed. And of course, I love watching the movie, The Ten Commandments. I love watching it. It's almost as good as it was when I was a kid, you know. And God starts to speak to Moses from within Himself. It wasn't an audible voice. Now, it might have vibrated his organs out of his body. It could have been God, you know, but it came from within him. And He said to Moses, I am that I am. There's nothing but God. There's only God. That's what He said. That's what I am that I am means. There's nothing but God. There's only God. And Moses had to go get his depends. Because he said, God, there's a bunch of crazy people down there that I'm in charge of. What the hell am I going to do? What do you mean there's only God? There's nothing but God. What are you talking about? For sure. That's what he said. And so what did God do is He gave Moses the commandments to manage what?
Behavior.
Unbelief. To manage unbelief.
Yes.
Jesus told us what sin was. He said it's unbelief. He gave him the commandments to manage unbelief. So, as Gary said, I don't care what people are doing. And we use terms. If you take the terms Gary was using in his message within the context of what he's saying, was perfectly spot on. But he said it has to be more than a belief, which I totally agree with him. But what about unbelief? Unbelief is really a belief that isn't real, isn't it? Right? Isn't it? You believe it mentally, but it's not, you don't, you're not sure. And so it has to become alive. And that's when it, when you know something, it becomes alive, right? So here goes Moses. It's no wonder he was white as a ghost in the movie. Because God just told him all there is God, and then he sent him back down there. You know, I'd crap my pants too. I'd be going into Kmart and buying some Depends myself. Because it wasn't good, was it? And Moses never saw the people come into rest. Except a couple guys at the end. And that's why God had to go bury him where they couldn't find him, because they still worship Moses. But what was Moses? Because he knew this truth, he became their supply.
Yes.
Moses became their supply because he knew the truth. He never forgot it. But he was surrounded by unbelief and people who were judging the world by appearances. They couldn't even go a day without a meal, without complaining, wanting to go back to bondage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. That's what the story's all about. That's what the Old Testament is about. It's man in his flesh. Israel was an example of the flesh. Never believed in the true God. And that's why all through the Old Testament, you've got testimony of a false God. All through it. Then Moses wrote Genesis. And he started out with the truth. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, there's nothing but God. There's only God. That's the beginning. That's the first words he said. Then in Revelations, John said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. There's nothing but God. There's only God. Said it again. And then Jesus came to him and said, fear not, I'm with you. There's only God. There's nothing but God. Fear not, I'm with you. Same thing. It's just then that language isn't transposed into our modern day language today. And we haven't got the meaning of it because it's been skewed by all of the appearances surrounding us, pulling us away from reality. That's why when I asked Tony, I said, what should the title of the messages be? He says, well, love, I changed it around a little bit, you know, for him, but it was pretty much what we said. You know, love, the road to reality. It's the road to God. It's the road to, there's nothing but God, there's only God. Walk, walk. You know, that's all you can say.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's right.
So, Isaiah, thus saith the Lord, King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and besides me there is nothing else. There it is. Wow. There it is. Plain as day. In the beginning was God. There's nothing but God. There's only God. It means the same thing. It's all over Scripture now that you got it. You're going to find it pop up everywhere. It's pure wisdom. And you can't do anything about it. You can't argue with it. Well, you can. But they're going to change it. Right? So where does it put us? The challenge is to leave our cares behind us. So follow me today and enjoy the presence of a kingdom where only God dwells. The kingdom of God is God. That's who you are right now. So now enter your rest. Enjoy where you're at. You can start loving those around you by laying down your name carved in a piece of stone. Who cares? You know? Who cares? None of those people even know their name's carved in a piece of stone anyways. Okay? Because they're in the presence of this, there's only God, there's nothing but God right now, every one of them, everybody. And I said last time it might be on these two planets somewhere, because I sort of thought that was cool. You know, might not be true, I don't know. But they found him. 191 light years away. I said 191,000 light years away in the recording. I'm redacting that right now. It's 191 light years away, which that's far enough, okay? Right? Yeah. 191 light years away. You couldn't even speak now and have it get there. Nobody, everybody forgot who you were. But we're so trapped in the circumstances that we're all afraid that our toes are going to quit wiggling someday. When you are eternal life. We are afraid right up to when it's going to happen. And as soon as it happened, you're going to forget it ever happened. Right? It's true. You're going to have no memory of it. If it ever does happen, you'll never have a memory of it. That's called eternal life. And it starts today by realizing you never will die. He who drinks of the water I give him will never thirst again and he'll never die. So understanding there's nothing but the Father. Nothing but the Father. If every one of us walking on the face of this earth were to just shut up and say that right now, nothing would be happening, would it? If all mankind were gone from the earth, there'd be nothing to complain about, would there? And so, are we going to now separate ourselves from all, what? The gnashing of teeth? Oops, did I say that? Excuse me. The gnashing of teeth? The gnashing of teeth? The children of the kingdom were cast into outer darkness, where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not the other way around. Your heritage. You've always been a child of the kingdom. Always have been. And you are today. But we're cast into outer darkness by what? By our judgment of the appearances. And we start giving commentary, you know. I think it's pretty clear. Real clear. Nothing's out of order. Nothing's out of order at any moment in time. Never has been, never will be, because there is no such thing as time. And so, I mean, if you want to argue about it and talk about science and math and stuff, I just proved it to you right there. All you got to do is believe there's no such thing as time, which means it's all got to be true now. The Father sees everybody in. He sees them whole. He sees them righteous. And that's all he sees. He's never saw anything different. And so the children of the kingdom wandered away from the barn. They got on their donkeys and their asses and their horses and followed their dreams right straight into hell. Didn't they? Going to and fro across the earth. Making a mess. Thinking that success had something to do with wealth and health and everything else, right? And now comes religion. Yeah, something worked once for me. I'm going to start a church. It worked once. You know, then if it worked twice, man, you've got a denomination, okay? So, nothing's out of order. Wow. So if you're longing for something, if you think you missed out on something in your life, think you haven't received something you should have, you're barking at the tree of good and evil. You've got the biggest dog lungs there is. Woof, woof, woof. Bark, bark, bark. This is good. This ain't good. I don't like this. I don't like that. This bone's too hard. This bone's too soft. Bark, bark, bark. That's what we're doing. So the tree of good and evil is the world that we see. The tree of good and evil is this world that we judge by appearances. It's the whole thing. It wasn't a little tree in a garden. It's everything out there that we judge by appearances. If you judge from this, you will surely die. You'll die a thousand deaths, because every time you do it, you die. And so Jesus said, let the dead go bury the dead. Didn't sound very pretty, not very nice either. But that's who he was talking to. That's all they're talking about is death language. They're not happy. They're not satisfied. They don't know me. When will they be satisfied? So Paul said, I've learned to be satisfied, what? In whatever state I find myself in. And if the circumstances change, fine. If they don't, fine. Be thankful in all things. It's not about the circumstances changing. That's all magic. That's all just magic. You know? So the whole world, the visible world, and its appearances is the tree of good and evil. And we begin to give our commentary and our opinion, argue, deliberate. You're always going to end up circling the same mountain the Egyptians did for 40 years. Not even satisfied with your dinner. Now I got to talk about my little brother again. Because my wife and I made a pact, you know, because we're professionals, we go out to eat a lot. I said, honey, whatever's put in front of us, I'm not bitching. It's true, and I'm doing pretty good with that, right? I want to enjoy my dinner.
He's very good. He's very good.
And I always tip, even if they're awful. I give them extra. Now, when I go with my brother, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. I mean, if there's a gnat flies by, you're hearing about it, you know. It could be the best meal in the world, and a gnat goes by. Did you see that gnat? That friggin' gnat ruined my dinner. Oh my gosh. Man. And what can you do? You know, if you don't join him, you know, he sort of scowls at you then, you know. Well, how's your dinner? It looks cold. That's what he said to me last time. I bet your potato's cold. The thing's, and when they brought it out, it was hot. I mean, it's going to cool down, dude, you know. That's what I told him. I barked at him a little bit. I said, man, it's been out here 10 minutes. You know, it's a little cooler than it was when they brought it out. Sure. What was the problem with the Egyptians? They ended up in the same place, didn't they?
Yeah.
They ended up in the same place. And one of them finally said, I've been watching that tree grow. It's the same tree. I think we're getting nowhere fast. Right? I think we're getting nowhere fast. That's pretty bad if you're getting nowhere fast, isn't it? You're going to be wore out. Right? And if you're waiting for the circumstances to change, what are you doing? You're always going to end up in the same place. Aren't you?
Yes.
Never satisfied. Never satisfied. You certainly won't dwell in a state of thankfulness because of your concerns over the activities in this world. Never. Wherever you're at, wherever you live, whoever you're surrounded by, it can't be more perfect than it is right now. There is no respecter of persons. Right? There's no variation in God. And so, can we give up the hypocrisy? Because that's what it says steals away pure wisdom. It steals away, removes you out of the kingdom of God. I don't care how you do this, okay? You can meditate. You have to be still to come to the conclusion that you can only know who you are by being still and realizing that there's been way too much talk, way too much judgment, way too many opinions. Now, to me, being still and knowing is just shutting up. It isn't meditation. If you could just start by just shutting up, that's a good start. Just shut up. Now, what can you do to clear your mind? Meditation can be one. Singing is a good one. I like to play racquetball. Those are all forms of meditation. I don't care how you get there. If you want to run around the house naked, whatever it is that gets your pulls your string, okay? Whatever you can do to clear your mind, right? This is why I like some hypnotherapists are pretty good, and it's why I walked you through this rock floating down through the water that one time, because I was trying to get you to get your mind off the cares. And so we all wrote them on the rock, and then we counted from 10 down to 1, watching it float down to the bottom of the river. And when we counted, and when we were paying attention to the numbers, weren't we? And you were starting to forget about what was written on the stone. Anything like that can be good. Clearing our minds so we can come back into love, come back into reality, right? That nothing's out of order at any time. So, we don't try to answer why things are happening in this world, why people are suffering. We're not going to teach karma anymore. We're not going to say karma exists in the world because that's the law. Karma only exists for those who believe it exists. It's an illusion because it comes from our judgment of the world. Suffering will cease for you when you begin, now listen to this, when you begin to love through what you see. Amen. Love through it. See through it. Mm-hmm. Love through it. Even if it speaks to you. Let it speak. Doesn't mean you have to agree with it. But don't resist it, as Tony's taught us that. No resistance. When it comes to you, let it have its way. But I think it's pretty easy for us to just do this. Let it have its way. And see, begin to love through what you see. There's nothing but love. There's only love. When you come into agreement with that, then your spirit will begin to teach you. That's when you're going to learn. That's when you're going to be taught what the love means. So when the things come to you, when the concerns come to you, you'll say, wait. What I see is out of order, but I don't have to agree with that anymore. That's where the change takes place that Gary was talking about this morning. Right there. That's where the change takes place. A realm of faith. The kingdom of God dwells 100% outside the appearances. No appearance whatsoever has anything to do with the kingdom of God to any degree. So don't take care to events taking place in this world. It's not the kingdom of God. It's none of our business to give comment on it. You take care of your own world. Whatever you believe is going on out there is in your world. And Jesus said, I'm going to leave the world now and go to my Father. And that's what you've got to do. You leave your world. You quit messing with other people's worlds and quit judging their world. Take care of your own business at home.
Yeah.
And then you'll quit judging everybody else's. I want to say again, When you judge by appearances, by behaviors, by the activities of this world, it forces you to believe in a God that rewards and punishes. Forces you. You have no alternative. That's what you're left with. It forces you to believe it. It's a byproduct of your judgment of the world. You're of the world if you're judging it. You're of the world then. There's no way around it. The curse follows this belief. It cannot see beyond the realm of faith, so it's possible to please that life that's within you because you're not satisfied but with what you're seeing. So it's impossible to please the Father then. That's how that scripture comes into line. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He's the byproduct of the things not seen. So compassion for the suffering we see in the world pulls us into unbelief, and we then begin to pray to a remote God to fix it. Now I'm going to shock you again. Martha? The truth is shocking, right?
Yeah, it is. Shocking.
Martha will protect me. Okay? Compassion for suffering pulls us into a world of unbelief. And we begin to pray to remote God to fix it. Praying to a God to change something in this world is futile because he sees the world in righteousness. Now, here it comes. Because if you're praying to a God for something, it's because he's unknown to you.
You gotta say it louder.
Yes. If you're praying to a God for something, it's because he's unknown to you. He's not known to you. It's not the true God. If you're praying to a God for something to change, it's because he's unknown to you. And you've bypassed your reward.
There it is, for sake of mercy.
You've bypassed your reward. God says, I am your reward, and you want this? And so your mind's on this, not on your reward. And so at that moment, God's unknown to you. And I think what Gary said is really true. I think we're just becoming to come in to know, really know the true God.
Yes.
Just now.
Amen.
Can we be humble and say that?
Yes.
We keep wandering away from the barn like a wild stallion. Every time something farts, we're gone, you know. Whoop, off we go. Reminds me of that song on the hee-haw. Remember that song?
Where are you tonight?
Where, oh, where are you tonight? Did you leave me here all alone? I searched the world over and I thought I found true love. She met another and she was gone. That's a pretty spiritual song, isn't it? As soon as the happens, we're gone. Whatever it is, fill in the blank, right? Fill in the blank. Folks, I'm with Gary. I was on a motorcycle one day, all alone, before I met this lovely woman. I thought nobody loved me. My parents weren't talking to me. I'd been through a divorce. Lost my business. Went bankrupt. Had a bike all by myself. And I said, God, all I want to do is know you. I don't care what it costs me. All I want to do is know you. That's all. I didn't know him. I didn't know him. And it's wonderful to sit here in front of you today and declare who he is. In a perfect way. A perfect way. You can't get any more pure than there's only God, there's nothing but God.
Amen.
And don't get any better than that. And we've arrived, haven't we? We've arrived. So when the Father is speaking, it's very simple. Because he's judging the world in righteousness, he's not complaining about the world. He's not questioning those things we observe with our eyes and hear with our ears because they don't fit into pure wisdom. It doesn't fit in. So there's no answer there for you, and it pulls you away from the true understanding of the true God. Salvation, the true gospel, is returning back to pure wisdom. To begin there, salvation has nothing to do with our opinions of what we think is going on in this world to any degree. Write it down. Carve it in your forehead. Not interested in human commentary. We're not going to be anchors on world news tomorrow. I'm not going to audition. That's not our goal, but I still might bring home the Nevins report occasionally. Some night from work, okay? My poor wife, I come home and she says, what happened at work today? And I said, honey, if I told you everything happened at work today, take me all day. And I don't want to talk about it. Why? Because I'm trying to get back to the sweet spot.
Yeah.
Anybody here golfers? Anybody here golf?
Yeah.
Everybody knows what the sweet spot is, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you probably only hit it once in your life, right?
Yeah. I hit it rarely.
But I mean, when you hit the sweet spot on the ball, you don't feel the club hitting the ball. It makes a small sound and it goes forever.
Right.
Right? It's like it just doesn't happen, you know, maybe once or twice in your whole life. This is the sweet spot. We're in the sweet spot here. Out from there is where it's safe to ask. That's where it's safe to ask for things. Because you're not consuming it upon your own lust if you're satisfied, are you? Can't. Not if you're satisfied.
Yes.
Right? So we want to stay true to the pure wisdom. This is the goal I've wanted for us this weekend. It's our goal. I don't want to just get together and have a meeting. I really don't want to get together in fellowship. I mean, I like that, you know, but that's not why we're here. It's our plumb line. There's nothing but love. There's only love. It's the same thing. So if we withdraw our judgment from the appearances every day and say, Father, hit the easy button. It's okay. It's okay. I'm satisfied. I see nothing but you. I see only you and my neighbor, my spouse, my relative, my friends. Those appear to be my enemies. I see nothing but God, even if you don't believe it. Even if it doesn't look like it's getting you anywhere. God, help my unbelief. That's a good prayer. Help my unbelief. When you look out into the world and see all the activities, through your own observation, hell begins to speak. That's hell. Hell begins to speak. There's never a God to answer prayers in these conditions. But it says, if any man hear my words and believe not, I still don't judge him. I still judge him not. Wow. For I came, what? Not to judge the world, but to save the world. That's our mission right there. Yeah. That lines right up with what you were sharing this morning, Gary, Tony. Now, I spent a lot of time on a passage in Isaiah in a lesson a year ago, and I want to share it with you just to bring home what prayer's about, what right prayer's about. You cannot pray correctly unless you're at a place where you're satisfied. You cannot. So God says, well, Isaiah 45, 21 through 25. Declare and bring forth your strong arguments of what I've just said to you. I just said to you, you can't pray unless you're satisfied. Go ahead and argue with me. But you've been praying to gods that can't save you. That's what he said. Go ahead. Keep blabbing away. Take counsel together. Who announced this? Beforehand, long ago, what did God declare it of old? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me. There's only God, there's nothing but God. There is no other God besides me, a sure and uncompromisingly just and righteous God and Savior. There is none besides me. Look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. There's nothing but God, there's only God. I've sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear allegiance. Only in the Lord shall one say, I have righteousness, salvation, victory, and strength. To him shall all come who are incensed against him, and they shall be ashamed. Now, I don't want to judge anybody, but when you know God's always loved you unconditionally, without any strings attached, and you haven't known it, it's a little embarrassing. That's what it's talking about. That's why every knee will bow. Because yes. You'll be shocked that he's not holding anything against you. You'll be shocked. Nothing. We read through Corinthians, the love chapter, and we think it's something we're supposed to do. And I'm telling you right now, you can't do one verse in there. It's a love letter to us from God. Yeah. And what does it say in there? He keeps no records of wrongs. Doesn't it? None. It's a love letter from him to us. He keeps no records of wrongs. I've sworn by myself, the word has gone out in righteousness and shall not return. In the Lord shall all the offspring of Israel be justified. So now, enjoy righteousness, salvation, and victory. and you shall glory too. You must come back to your own, a spiritual sense of oneness. And then realize that even if your body were to fail, it does not matter. You're not a body. It doesn't change the truth. We can't judge by what happens to us, what happens to our neighbors, what happens out in the activities of the world to any degree. So the laws of God are not grievous. The burden is light. When you come to a full understanding that everything is complete, nothing is out of order, the work then becomes this is our work. Everything that's around us, everything that we hear, you have to realize you can't change who you are. You can't change who God is by your commentary. Before you were ever born in this world, you were created holy. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. There's only God, there's nothing but God. And I want to close with one verse that you can meditate on if you listen to this message again, or you can take with you this weekend. And it's Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. And it sums up everything I've just said to you perfectly. When we get our minds in the right place, right? When you read it and you're clamoring for something, we never read it right, do we? We don't divide the truth correctly. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. There's only God, there's nothing but God. That I am the Lord, which exercises what? Loving kindness. Judgment and righteousness, hello, together. Together, there they are together again. Judgment and righteousness. I exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.